Stooley, John Gruden, who is now a part of the Barstool Sports family, which, by the way, what a hire.
Great hire.
Where did that come from?
I had no idea.
I forgot about Gruden until he started putting out those creepy YouTube videos, you know? Like him in the dark.
It's got me feeling really nicey. 18 for 18. I couldn't do that in pregame warm-ups.
You see, like, the sun coming up behind him. You're like, what are you up to, man? Like, what's going on here?
I love that man so much. I always have.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he writes some very nice things in some of those emails, which is what got him fired in the first place. But, you know, guys get second chances all the time in this league, that's for sure. And it's not even a league job. It's with Barstool, which is kind of appropriate if you think about it in those terms and sort of rehabbing the image of a guy who got canceled or whatever. It's sort of Barstool's bread and butter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyways, he loves Drake May. He didn't necessarily commit to saying he likes him over Daniels at the end, but he did say he loved him, almost like on the same level, I would say, as he likes Jaden Daniels, went on and on about him, called him five-star. I think that he's seeing what a lot of other people are seeing and a lot of other people have seen, and certainly you, Chris Scheim, you've been, not you and Andy Hart, basically, have been the band leaders of the Drake May Parade. So what do you think about those comments there?
I loved them. I was so giddy. I started giggling to myself, and I feel like other people around the NFL who weren't necessarily big Drake May people are starting to hop on the bandwagon, i.e. Dan Orlovsky and the like. They're like, you couldn't pay me to start him at the beginning of the regular season, and now Dan Orlovsky is drooling over his tape every Monday morning. And guys like Merrill Hodge, who are like, he's going to get guys fired, look like idiots. And it just makes me feel a lot better when I hear a really smart NFL coach like Jon Gruden, who has been with countless quarterbacks from Randall Cunningham's to Rich Gannon's to Steve Young. He's coached with all these guys, and he's like, yeah, Drake May, five-star badass.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a nice ringing endorsement. It does fly in the face of the Bill Belichicks of the world, who still don't seem to get what the hype about Drake May is.
Yeah, but that may just be a anti-Patriots thing,
just pettiness.
Yeah, 100%.
Could be.
I would love to give Bill the truth serum and be like, what do you really think about just Drake May, the quarterback?
Yeah, maybe, but I still think even with that, Bill Belichick has always been sort of predisposed to think that quarterbacks don't really matter, right?
Like
That's kind of been his, except it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest. Aaron Rodgers hung the moon as far as Bill Belichick's concerned.
Yes, true.
But the rest of them, Tom Brady and all those other bums, like, don't really matter. And that's sort of how he's always thought about it. I mean, that's how he's thought about it. What do you want?
I mean, you're not wrong. No, you're absolutely right.
I know he's saying nice things lately, but you know how he felt. You know how he felt at the time. There was a whole book and Dynasty documentary written about it. I mean, we all remember how
there was
the
a report that if he came back to football, he wouldn't want a superstar quarterback in place. Of course, he doesn't like quarterbacks.
I don't doubt that at all. He doesn't want an independent thinker. He doesn't want someone who's going to question anything. He just wants someone to say, yeah, Bill, whatever you say, or whatever the guy that you hired to run the offense says, that's fine with me, and I'll just go out there and do what you
want. Isn't it funny? Because that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants, and yet everybody loves Shanahan, and people hate Bill for it.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
It's a very weird situation. And listen, the Niners, the big difference, obviously, is that Shanahan's such an offensive mind.
Mastermind, yeah.
And they've gone through it with different quarterbacks, having traded up for a quarterback who ended up being
a terrible bust
and losing out on all those draft picks and everything else. He does have a very good GM working with him, too, there in John Lynch, who's not been afraid to go out and spend money or make bold trades or do any of those type of things. So, in general, I'd say they have it working pretty well, despite the fact that the Niners haven't had a great season. But this isn't really about the Niners. This is about Drake May, and a guy who has not had... He hasn't really had either one of the two extremes of the spectrum yet, right? Like, he hasn't had that crazy good game where he throws for 350 yards, three touchdowns, and everyone oohs and ahs and goes crazy all week about him. And he also hasn't had that Caleb Williams bad game yet either. So I'm not sure what to expect. I don't know if we're just going to keep seeing sort of Steady Eddie on a week-to-week basis who makes mistakes but also flashes with big throws but doesn't ever really go all the way up or all the way down, but I feel like at some point in every rookie quarterback's career, or every rookie quarterback's rookie year all throughout history, there's been something like that. You don't just not see that, right?
Yeah, so you're going to see one end of the spectrum or the other eventually. I have no doubt about that. Like, I think there's absolutely going to be a blow-up game positively and negatively in his future. I've said for weeks now, I feel like that negative one is going to come week 16 against the Bills in Buffalo. Like, that's just, it's been my gut feeling all along. That's going to be his 150 yards, three picks, no touchdowns type of game, where it's just going to be like, oh, man, what this was brutal. But, like, I also feel like there's that, you know, 303 touchdowns, no picks game in his future somewhere here. And it could easily come against a team like Miami or Indianapolis here in the next couple weeks. Hell, it could even be today. Like, this Rams secondary is not good.
Not very good. I mean, they got a couple of players, but they're not a strong secondary.
I mean, Geno Smith was dicing them up and then just made stupid decisions in the red zone. Otherwise, he scores like 35 points on this defense.
Yeah.
And so I think there's opportunity here for Drake May today. If they can minimize the pass rush of the LA Rams, he could have one of those big passing days today. I think it would be more likely he has a big passing day than a blow-up day, in my opinion.
I would like to think so, and I think that the way this team is going right now with momentum, and we haven't had this sort of big-picture discussion yet about this game and about wins and about draft position and sort of all that stuff. I'm sort of leaning now towards two reasons why I want to see him keep winning.
Okay.
Number one, I didn't bet the under at the beginning of the season.
Nope,
I just didn't bet
the over.
Any of that stuff. I didn't even touch it. Number two, I want to shut Mike Lombardi up, right?
Wouldn't that
be great when they win their fifth game and Lombardi has to go on that podcast and still
he's
try
such a boob.
It's just going to change the subject. You know, that's all they're going to do. They're just going to talk about other teams and ignore the
Patriots. They're going to do exactly what Bill did last week on the Pat McAfee show, which is like, yeah, Drake played great, and immediately pivot to how bad the other team is.
But those Bears, man, they really
They're terrible.
Which, by the way,
rabble.
We all ripped on him for that. It's not wrong.
No, the Bears were
terrible. That game was more about the Bears, I thought, than the Patriots, right?
We all agree. I don't disagree. I think it was much more about the Bears than it was the Patriots, but I think the Patriots deserve credit. They took advantage of a bad football team, which is what Bill Belichick teams did for two decades.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a good sign for the New England Patriots is they're not playing down to their competition necessarily. And I think that is an important piece of this where it's like, okay, Drake, even though that team's terrible, you went out, you really limited your mistakes, you helped the offense move the football, you scored a touchdown, you won the football game. That's what matters. We didn't play down to our opponent. Let's move on to the next one.
The big question, I think, when it comes to this, as far as Drake May is concerned, is what's more valuable to him? The feeling of coming off the field with a win and going into that locker room, and, you know, he's got this whole thing with the offensive line and more development with your wide receivers and sort of all of that, which I think is very valuable in a rookie quarterback's development. Like, that sort of thing is real. Like, those are, you can't replace that. Like, if you just lose every week, then you lose every week. And he can still be a good leader, and he can still try and pump everybody up. But there's a difference between coming off the field in a game you won, and you won because the quarterback played well, right? I mean, like, he's really the only reason this team's winning any games, I would say that, in the defense, or the other team melting down, or whatever it may be. But he's the whole team. Like, he's the whole offense. So to see that and to see him experience that versus the talent that he may be acquiring by losing games in the draft next year, that's sort of what you have to weigh in your mind. Like, what's more valuable? And I'm kind of on the leadership side right now. The talent's important. There's other ways to get talent. And by the way, you're not going to be picking like 20th, guys. Like, you're going to be picking in the top 15.
The Dallas Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb at 15 and Micah Parsons at 11. You can get otherworldly talented players from 10 to 20.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You certainly can, and you definitely can, because you don't need a quarterback.
We talked about this in one of the breaks.
Right.
Look at the four receivers taken in the 2023 NFL draft. All four of them were taken in the 20s. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison. Would you like to have any of those guys on this team right
absolutely
now?
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd take them all. And that's sort of the point, too, is that I don't know exactly what the quarterback, college football quarterback thing, how that's all going to settle or whatever.
That's
there's some question marks there with all these guys, really.
Huge.
But there's teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick there early. They're going to make them. They're going to talk themselves into Shador, Ewers, or whoever it is that's
Cam
up there. Cam Ward, all those guys. Shador had a good game, but like the rest of these guys, you know, you sort of wonder. And I wonder about Shador, too. But either way, that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is these teams are desperate. They're going to want to trade up. It's going to immediately knock three or four picks right off of it. So let's say you're picking 15th. You're really picking 11th because you don't need a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so that to me is, and that's, I think, on the extreme, like the Patriots, the highest they're going to pick is 15th.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the Rams. I mean, they picked, what, like 16th or 17th last year, and they ended up getting Jared Verse, who's going to be the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need anything on offense. They had found Puka Nacua in his rookie year. They have Cooper Kupp coming back healthy, Kyron Williams, Matthew Stafford. They're like, all right, we need some offensive line help, and we need defense help. What did they do? They got the second-best defensive player in the draft at the time, just by numbers drafted, and they're going to get the best rookie defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, and all of that to say, go out and win.
Yes,
go out
absolutely.
And win games.
Right? I couldn't agree more.
That's what I think. You know, you're not going to win a ton. It's not like you're going to go on some win streak and just miss the playoffs and be one of those teams that just not good enough for the playoffs and not bad enough to pick in the top 10. You know what I mean? Like, you hate being there.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That's not going to be you this year. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, you could, but it's unlikely. You're right. And I think more importantly is there's redeeming qualities of winning and losing. I think that Tennessee game taught Drake a lot.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the final 2-minute drive, the way you ended that game was awesome, but then the mistake in overtime, those are a lot of things you can learn from. Whereas the Bears win was it's a nice win just for morale, but there wasn't a whole lot to take away from that. Outside of the bad interception, there wasn't a whole lot of things you can kind of take away from such an ugly game. Whereas I think if you were going to beat a team like the Rams, the Dolphins, or the Colts, it's going to be on the shoulders of Drake May, not necessarily on the shoulders of 9 sacks from your defensive line. And so I think those could have a lot of redeeming qualities in that win.
Yeah, and there's games where you don't score a ton of points and you win the game, and you learn from that experience, just like you learned.
Look at Patrick Mahomes this year.
Exactly.
He knows how to win in ugly situations. And that is the whole reason that they are Super Bowl favorites every year, because they get to the playoffs, and in one score games, they don't lose. They don't lose because they don't make stupid mistakes. No stupid penalties, no stupid interceptions or fumbles. They just make every right decision. They play it by the book. They play conservative and smart every step of the way. And then Patrick Mahomes goes and does the miraculous stuff.
What's one thing you want to see from Drake May today? What's like one specific, and it doesn't have to be, it can be big picture, small picture. Is there a stat or something that you want to see from him today?
Yeah, so for me, I want to just see him uncork passes. And it's because I felt like at time he has been timid to hit tight windows on in-breaking routes and stuff like that, especially because he's seen guys like Kayshon Booty. He'll throw an absolute dart, but because there's a defender close, it feels like a hospital ball, and Kayshon Booty bails out and drops it. And it's like, don't worry about your receiver dropping the ball. Put it in there. I want you to hit that back foot on the drop and just hurl a couple passes in there. I want you to rip that thing. Have zero hesitation on your ability and just trust your guy to make the catch. Whether he makes the catch or not, I don't care. Just trust your guy to do it and really kind of just like let loose.
Mine's in a similar vein. I want to see him get more accurate on the short throws in the short game, in the quick game, because I think that's really the decision making still coming along, but when it comes to the actual arm talent and accuracy, seeing things like that, I feel like he's more accurate deeper down the field than he is up close. It's like he's farsighted, you know, like that's been an issue for him this year, and something that I'd like to see him clean up a little bit. And I think you have short yardage type wide receivers. These aren't guys who are going to burn everybody down the field. Booty's probably the closest thing you have, but other than that, Douglas, Polk, Bourne, the rest of them, intermediate guys, and you need to be able to hit them in the short field. And I think that he's not been terrible at it, but it's probably his weakest area.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see him get better at that.
I would also, and this is kind of a hope for me, is I want to see him go toe-to-toe with Matthew Stafford. I want this to be a Drake May versus Matthew Stafford game, because I see them so similarly. Like Matthew Stafford, in my opinion, is one of the most talented throwers of the football I've ever seen. Like, he can do it from every platform, from every arm angle, at any distance on the field, at any point in time. And I want to just see Drake have the confidence to be like, yeah, okay, Stafford just, you know, walked down the field 70 yards for a touchdown. I can go match that. And that's what I want to see this week. That's a hope and dream.
It's 617-779-7937. We will get to your phone calls, and Andy Hart will join the show right after Chris Scheim gets you caught up on what's trending. Gerard Mayo speaking earlier this week about the culture they're trying to build in New England. I think that's something that's very important to him, something that he's emphasized pretty much from the jump getting this job. And I think that they're kind of getting there. I don't know. I see the vision at the very least, Shem. I don't know if they're there yet culture-wise, but I see the vision. And I saw it and I heard it this week too. the whole thing, sort of the attacks on Van Pelt from the Kraft. You want to call them attacks, but maybe the potential undermining of someone like Van Pelt and him coming out, Mike Onwenu coming out saying what he said, Mayo, everybody kind of having the back of Van Pelt there. Drake May always has glowing things to say about him. I think that there's, I don't know if it's going to work, and I don't know if it's enough, but I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see what I think Jerod Mayo was brought in for, what he was hoping to do. This especially coming after a tough couple of weeks to start the year where it seemed like all the wide receivers just didn't care about anything. And,
sure.
You know, guys were getting in trouble and guys were staying out late and eating bad food and whatever it was they were doing out in London, like all that crap. Like it seemed like he didn't really have much of a handle on the locker room or on the roster or on anything. And maybe just winning 2 out of 3 games fixes everything. It's probably more that than anything else. But I do get the sense that there's something, the foundation, I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to look at the foundation and see potential for a house you can build.
Yeah, even he has said that winning kind of cures all a lot of the time. And I'm curious your thoughts on if you think he's on pace. Like, right? Like, because you knew this was not going to be an overnight thing. He was not going to be able to change the culture the way he wanted it to be after Bill was here for a quarter century, basically, and turn it all around in, like, one day. And so we're starting to see some things being built. You're starting to see, I would say, the pillars of what Jerod Mayo wants to kind of put in place. Do you think he's moving at a good pace here? Do you think he's behind schedule, ahead of schedule? Kind of where do you think he's at overall?
Well, he's had some setbacks.
Sure.
I'd definitely say that. But right now, I think it's a decent place to be in.
Yeah.
You're a bad team still. You're not good. You're not a team that anyone's scared of. And you're not a team that's competing really for a playoff spot. I know I'm seeing these graphics now about how they're in the hunt, right, with all these other teams, the 4-6 teams and the 3-7 teams.
The bottom of the AFC is bad.
It's not good. So, I mean, technically, I guess there's something there. But I don't know. I don't look at it that way. I don't think they're really looking at it that way.
Sure.
And generally, when you're a bad team like that, you have a new coach, a new GM, a new quarterback, everything's new. There's going to be a lot of leash. So I would say, as far as my timeline, he's doing okay. I wouldn't say he's too far behind.
Yeah, because for me, like, I always felt he had this job for 3 years, was kind of where I was at. That Kraft don't tell you that or Robert doesn't tell you that he picked him out 5 years ago to be your head coach if you're going to fire him after a year or two. So in assuming that he has 3 years to kind of build his culture, you know, 10 games in, this seems about right. Like, you can identify what he wants to do and wants to build, but it's clearly not yet come to fruition. It's still just kind of, you know, the seeds have been planted, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot of gardening to get it to where you want it to be. But having Drake May and the ability to win and steal some games helps, especially when you're underdogs in literally every game you play.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but Drake May starting and Mayo calling the team soft. Both of those things happened right around the same time, right?
They did.
Like,
yeah.
May had already made one start, I think, but like, I don't think that's a coincidence either. I think in terms of getting a team, changing the way things are going, changing the trajectory of the way the team was going, because it was going straight into the ground. And challenging the team, I thought, was a good way to at least see, all right, are these guys going to respond to this or not, or is this a lost cause? And putting in the quarterback, who's clearly a dynamic player and someone that everybody was hoping would get in and be able to play, certainly on the offensive side, and I think on both sides. Lazar, God bless him, when he said there was the mutiny, was all about, you know, how come he's not out there with us? You know, how come he's not out there?
And I think he was right.
Trying to make things better, and why the team, whether they like Jacoby Brissett or not, they know they're not stupid. Like, everybody gets it.
Well, have you heard from the receivers very much since Drake May has taken over?
Not a peep.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of the point, is it's like everybody knew you had the Ferrari in the garage.
Yeah.
And you're trotting out the 85 Lincoln over here, just kind of, you know, making your way down the field and not turning the ball over, but taking sacks left and right when Drake May was ready to go. And since he's taken over, I think pieces are starting to come together.
617-779-7937. John's in Marblehead. Hey, John.
Hey, Arkan. I'm a first-time caller. Absolutely love you guys.
Thanks, John.
And a belated congratulations on your Host One role in the afternoon.
Thank you. Very proud. Very proud of being Host One. What's on your mind?
Sure. When you guys were talking about the desperate QB teams out there, it's a very simple question. Think there's a world where those teams would consider Joe Milton?
No.
Consider him to do what? To trade for Joe Milton?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't.
No, I don't. If they really wanted him, they would have drafted him prior to the sixth round or seventh round of the NFL draft this past year.
Yeah.
It's not like he's hit the field and been
He hasn't
good.
Gone in a game and shown you anything. Like, he hasn't no, done anything.
He's been a preseason
not,
guy. Yeah. Nobody cares.
If he was on the practice squad, I could see someone snatching him off a practice squad, maybe. But even that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, even
about,
Bailey
you know?
Zappi's on practice squad.
Yeah, and Zappi's on the, what is he, on the Cowboys now?
No, he's on the Browns.
Browns, that's right. Yeah, he's in Cleveland. But yeah, he's bounced all around too. So, I mean, you know, if you're someone that you can just snatch off the practice squad for no return
price.
Or anything, then fine.
Sure.
But that's not what Joe Milton is. He's a rookie quarterback, obviously, but he's part of the Patriots roster.
This is the issue with Patriots fans. They see a guy in preseason and they're like, oh, this guy's the best. And in reality, he's just another Jag.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if we even actually see him on the field at all this year. All right, joining us right now, the host of the Six Rings podcast, as well as Six Rings postgame show, also host two on WEEI Afternoons, alongside myself, host one. I'm talking, of course, about Andy Hart, who joins us here on WEEI Football Sunday. Hart, how you doing, buddy?
I am great, and I need to push back. I'm not taking the caller's side on this, but I would say Joe Milton, not your typical practice squad Jag. He is probably the biggest, most athletic, strong-armed practice squad Jag that's ever walked the planet. Other than that, I agree with the tone of the conversation.
Yeah, Andy, how many starting quarterback snaps is Joe Milton going to take in the next 5 years?
The next 5 years?
Yep.
I bet you he takes some somewhere. There's just not enough quarterbacks.
Like four?
Yeah.
Like you four? Know, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, the reality is for him,
couple kneel downs.
maybe. But his unwillingness to change. Like, I look at him and say, in a world where Brendan Schooler is getting Longhorn package opportunities, there's got to be volunteer package opportunities for a guy like Joe Milton with size, speed, athleticism. But his desire to be a quarterback might prevent him from becoming what he actually could be, which is a ridiculous NFL athlete.
All right, we got KJ Osborne, a healthy scratch. Tyquan Thornton, gone. You, I think, have always been an advocate for shrinking down this wide receiver room. Any thoughts on Thornton now finally being cut loose?
Thank God. Let's just end the charade, as they say. And I was a sucker. I fell for it multiple summers, practice fields. The guy could catch the ball in the practice field and then couldn't catch the ball in game action, never developed into anything. Certainly a black mark on the drafting process that was at some point kind of helped led by Matt Groh. I tie that pick to him because he was so outspoken about speed and all that year. And both those guys were complete busts here, did nothing in Pierre Strong and Tyquan Thornton. And I like, yes, shrinking the roster. There's a reason you're one of the few teams that had seven. And, you know, Mike Reese wrote about this. The Rams have seven, but everybody knows who the top two are. In New England, you have no idea really who anybody is. I know Kayshon Boutte has evolved into sort of the quasi number one or whatever you want to call it. And DeMario Douglas is picking up the pace and I think trending in a more positive direction. But, you know, I'll spin Shime's question kind of on its ear here. I don't know in 3 years if any of these guys are on the Patriots as wide receivers, quite honestly. And I think you need to take a step in that direction as soon as possible, figuring out, do I need to get a number one this offseason? Do I need to get a number two, a one and a two, a one, a two and a three? And I think sort of getting rid of the dead weight that was Tyquan Thornton. Very, very light dead weight, but dead weight is is good for that.
Yeah, I'm shocked it didn't blow away in the wind.
No, he just blows.
Ouch.
Touche. Andy, it seems like the Patriots are going to go with the exact same lineup on the offensive line as last week. Do you feel like last week was a bit of a mirage because of what the Chicago Bears are? Or do you think they might actually be able to have success against a strong Rams front?
We both know that I will never spike a volleyball over an official's height net in my life, but I'll spike the hell out of this. It was an absolute mirage. The false hope that was created and propagated because of that game and because of the offensive line and different aspects in that game, I find very interesting. And I think there is a incredible juxtaposition this week, a Rams defensive front that I think is one of the best in football. You obviously heard Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt talk about that. Jared Verse has been awesome.
He's so good.
Over under 1.5 Dikembe Mutombo finger wags that he has today. I'm going to take the over. He likes to do that when he makes plays. The Fisk kid, they bring youth,
he's
athleticism, absolutely, yeah. Depth. I think this line, maybe I'm being overly negative and responsive in the other direction, but I think this line is going to get kind of slapped around a little bit today, and I think Drake May is going to really have to do some special things to avoid turnovers and sacks and negative plays. Because, yes, absolutely, this idea that 2 weeks in a row we got the line, or a couple weeks ago even when Mayo was like, yeah, Vedarian Lowe could be a long-term answer at left tackle, and all this false hope, false propaganda, whatever it's been off and on with this offensive line, it's not a good offensive line, and I think you're going to see that today against the Rams front.
How about defensively for the Patriots, Andy? They obviously had a big game against Chicago and that offense, which is in total turmoil, and fired their offensive coordinator. But just being out there and getting to the quarterback that much has to do something for their confidence and momentum coming into this matchup, wouldn't you think?
I would hope so. Sometimes we all need that, right? It's like I always bring up the feather for Dumbo. Like, he needed the feather to realize he could actually fly. It was really just his ears. And maybe some of these guys can fly. And, you know, getting Ngakoue out there in whatever role he's going to be in, getting Barmore out there in whatever role he's going to be in, could help. Now, it's two steps forward, one step back, because you lose Dietrich Wise and Roy, actually, two guys that have been active up front. But I think they can build on that a little bit. And the Rams' offensive line is not great. I think there will be some opportunities today. I think they're going to throw the ball. Stafford, I think, is a more efficient pocket manager, I'd say, than Caleb Williams. He'll get rid of the ball. He'll move well in the pocket. He's not going to run, but he can throw it away, do different things with his arms. So there'll be a challenge here. And obviously, nine sacks is not going to happen. But if you can be a productive presence in the pass rush, that'll go a long way to not putting everything on the back end, because we saw last week that Kupp and Nacua are getting healthy, catching volume, and that will be a big challenge for this secondary if there isn't a lot of pass rush. So I'm most intrigued by seeing what Ngakoue is today, quite honestly. I know Barmore is the big name and the big money guy for them, but I got to think he's going to be kind of limited, kind of raw. I mean, the guy hasn't really taken much contact. I know they said they had a physical Wednesday practice, but I'm a little surprised, quite honestly, that Barmore's even going out there. I think it's tough to go from no contact to, in the midst of a week, just get on an NFL game field. So those two guys are going to be interesting to watch as we try to maintain or build a little momentum in the pass rush here.
Andy, I have to ask about our guy, Drake May, here. So I understand that the Rams front is going to be daunting, but the secondary is not that good. Like,
correct.
That secondary is gettable. Is there a chance we get a Matthew Stafford versus Drake May shootout type of game here today?
I think you're going to have to if the Patriots are going to compete in this game.
Okay.
I'm a little dubious, mostly because of that defensive front's matchup with the offensive line. But I do think you're going to have to throw the ball some today. Now, I know they'll run it first because that's just who they are. They're going to try to establish the run, then get the play-action game going, which his numbers are very good in the play-action game, as most quarterbacks are, because if you're doing it well, it affects the defense and creates some openings. I'm also just interested, is he ready? We'll see. Is the line ready? I doubt it. Are the receivers ready? Are the receivers ready to have a volume day catching the ball? I don't think you can have the drops, the fall downs, the different things that have befallen this wide receiver core over the course of the season. They also need to be ready for this, like a clean day. They need to be ready on hot reads, and they can't be turning their head late. This is going to have to be a combination effort by the quarterback and the receivers to, I think, overcome what is going to happen in the trenches with the pass rush and the offensive lines matchup. So I'd like to think it, you know, host one and I have been talking a lot about, you haven't had the great May game yet and you haven't had the stinker game yet. And I think this game could present the opportunity for either.
Ooh, okay.
And you know what I mean? Like,
do you think is more likely?
The stinker.
Bummer.
Which I hate because I love him, but I do think if he's playing catch up to Matthew Stafford, if they get, you know, a 14-point lead or 17-point lead and he's chasing and they have to throw more against that front with this line, to me that's a scenario for mistakes, strip sacks, pressured throws, interceptions, things of that nature. If they can keep it relatively close and the defense can do its job in that area, then I think maybe you could have some opportunities to make some plays down the field, because I do believe this group of receivers and quarterback are believing in each other. And I heard you guys talking about it coming in, the complaints and sort of the way things changed when he entered the lineup. I think there is a more positive energy between the quarterback and the targets right now than maybe at any point all season. And maybe on a nice sunny day in Foxborough in front of the home crowd, maybe that offers up the opportunity for that Drake May 300-yard passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions, something like that.
Oh, what I would give for that.
I agree. I wouldn't bet on it. I do think it's more likely it could be 190 yards and three picks, but I think this is going to be a fun day just in the evolution, and we have to take both of those, right? We know both is coming. The great day and the terrible day are coming. It's going to be part of this process, and just sort of accept it and take it for what it is as you build the foundation for what he's going to be and what they're going to be.
We're talking with Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoon, Six Rings Podcast. Andy, all week long you were talking about how the Patriots are going to get smoked. Now you think it's going to be a fun game?
Well, no, I still think they're going to get smoked, okay. But I think I think the opportunity
fun
is there
smoked.
For a... Well, yeah, I mean, all of these are experiences, right? Like,
right.
In 3 years, it's not okay for me to feel this way. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He needs to settle in. But for the here and the now, I think it's weird for me to say this, I guess. I think checking off that stinker game and then seeing how he reacts to it with us on Monday and with his linemen if they go out to dinner on Monday night, like, seeing how he deals with the stinker is just as important as seeing how he dealt with a nice game in Chicago last week, handled it well. He's, you know, dapping up every one of his linemen, taking him out to dinner. Like, that's important. That's part of the process. So, too, is having a stinker, getting slapped around by a defensive line, getting up, getting going the next week, finding a way to bounce back from that. It's all part of the process so that in 3 years or 2 years, he can take his place where you know I think he's going to be, Arcand, and that's like a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the NFL.
Yep, getting his Canton bust sculpted as we speak. That
damn
is the
right.
Voice of Andy Hart. Him and Chris Schein make up the two founding members of the Drake May fan club.
Damn
and,
right, baby.
You can hear him also on the Six Rings postgame show after the game today alongside Fitzy, who we talked to earlier, live from the tailgate. Andy, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
See you, boys.
All right.
Enjoy the game.
It's Andy Hart. And again, you can catch him and Fitzy with the Six Rings postgame show. Don't miss it right here on WEEI as soon as this game gets over. We got one segment left, and we will pop, lock, and drop in the studio. You and me. Just, you know, put the music on, and we'll let it happen. We'll give you our locks, who we're dropping, who's going to pop, all that stuff next. WEEI Football Sunday. Arcan here, Shime here. Mega had to go, but we do have her picks, so we'll play them or we'll recount them for you right now in this week's edition of Pop, Lock, and Drop. All right, Shime time. Who's popping today?
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. Give me Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, and the Colts. Underdogs by 4.5 points today in New Jersey against the Jets. I love Richardson and Jonathan Taylor to both score touchdowns in this game. That's my pop. The Colts are going to pop today.
Colts money line is a very sexy pick this week.
Yeah, plus 180.
180 for a... Listen... I've gotten burned by the Jets so many times this year. I've gotten burned by them so often.
Like last week, they should never have been favorites over the Cardinals. The Cardinals are exponentially better than they are.
And they keep getting listed that way.
Yes.
And for some reason, money keeps coming in on them.
And I will keep betting against them.
Not to spoil my drop, but I don't like that game at all for those exact same reasons. But I will say, my pop today is Josh Jacobs.
Ooh.
Josh Jacobs, running back for the Green Bay Packers. And the reason why I think he pops today is because Jordan Love has kind of emerged as a turnover machine this year.
10 picks.
10 interceptions, and he's missed 2 games. I think they keep the ball out of his hands. I think that they exploit that weak Bears run defense. And I think Josh Jacobs goes bananas today. So I'm going to go, I might even tease up some alternate yards here. I think it's like 65.
Oh, yeah.
I might take that up to like 85.
Love that.
I think he has like a 100-yard game today. I just have a good feeling about it. Maybe multiple touchdowns, something along those lines. Either way, I'd go with Jacobs overs today. I believe that he is someone who is going to pop. All right, Mego's pop is Mike Gesicki. She's not here to explain it, but she thinks that Gesicki will eclipse 50 receiving yards this week as the Bengals are taking on, who are the Bengals taking
on? The Chargers tonight on Sunday Night Football.
Interesting. I don't know how the Chargers are against the tight end this year, but they do have a good defense. So I'm surprised to see you're going with the Cincinnati over that's not Jamar Chase.
Yeah, so normally Mike Gesicki is the like T. Higgins replacement. T. Higgins is back, though, so maybe Gesicki frees up even more with Higgins and Chase out there.
All right, very good. Those are our pops. Who is your lock?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that Packers-Bears game that you had. I want the under 17.5 team total of the Chicago Bears. This offense is brutally bad, and just changing Shane Waldron for a guy who was the offensive coordinator last year for Bryce Young on the Carolina Panthers is not going to help your offense. So give me the under 17.5 team total for the Chicago Bears today. That's my absolute lock of the week.
All right, very good. My absolute lock of the week is not something I generally wade into when it comes to picks like this. Double-digit spreads.
Oh?
The Jacksonville Jaguars are 14-point underdogs.
Do it to them.
To the Detroit Lions.
Do it
Mac,
to them.
Mac Jones is playing.
Yes, he is.
And I don't know. I mean, it's any given Sunday. I know that's the rule. I'd tease this up to like 25.
Arkan, there's already reports of Doug Peterson losing his job after this game.
Can you imagine being Doug Peterson right now today? And you see this rap sheet set at a rap sheet had a
yes,
whole report this morning with NFL Network about how if they lose to the Lions, this could be it for Doug Peterson. You're Doug Peterson, your whole career, well, maybe not your whole career, but certainly your job right now, your main source of income, rests on the right shoulder of McCorkle Mac Jones.
What a resume for Mac Jones, having gotten two Super Bowl winning coaches fired in like 2 years.
That is, I didn't even think of that. That's true. He's like the Grim Reaper, really. I mean, he's like you know the death cat that would go to like in the hospitals?
Yes.
Right before someone in the hospital is going to die, the cat would go visit him?
Yep.
That's Mac Jones.
Yes,
Mac Jones is the death cat. It's a 14-point spread. I almost always stay away from these. But it's the Lions who are awesome. And I know they just won a game where Goff had 5 interceptions and they won the game anyway.
Yep.
What are they going to do to these Jaguars? I can't even imagine.
Oh, they're going to murder
in Detroit. It's going to be a bloodbath, I think, which means hammer the Jags, I guess. But yeah, that's my lock of the week. The Detroit Lions are going to bury Mac Jones and the Jaguars and Doug Peterson, who I feel bad for. And it's going to be one of those games they barely even go to on Red Zone today. You're not even going to see it.
Well, no, you're going to see it because the Lions are going to be scoring every 2 minutes.
That's true. I mean, maybe, yeah, they'll be doing that.
Do you think they dropped their second 50 burger in like 4 weeks?
Could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see a 50 burger coming for this one.
I would love that so much.
That is my lock. Mego's lock. How about this? Jets money line over the Colts. Mego, what are you talking about?
Mego, what are we doing?
Even though New York is a mess, Anthony Richardson is another cautionary tale about handling a young quarterback. Now, listen, I kind of agree about the Richardson thing. Sorry, earmuff, Shime. I know this is your MVP
okay.
Over here. But yeah, Anthony Richardson is not good. And I don't expect him to have a good game. I expect him to turn around, hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor.
Who's awesome.
And Taylor to go buck wild on that Jets defense that can't stop anyone. So.
I also think the Richardson rush yards number is probably a good play, better than any of his passing stats.
I'd imagine that's probably a good one, too. But listen, this is not our pick. This is Mego's pick. And she likes gangrene this week, which... Mega, I would like stage an intervention right now if she was in the room with us here.
I would as well.
I would. I'd be like, Mega, we all care about you. Like we don't want to see you destroy yourself like this anymore. Don't pick the Jets. All right, who are you dropping?
So Mega and I have the same pick. So I'm gonna pivot here. I'm gonna drop the Falcons Broncos game because every bit of my soul wants to bet on the Broncos. I actually think the Broncos are good, but at the same time, Atlanta's been such a weird team that some days they look like they're one of the better teams in the NFC. And other teams, other weeks, they're losing to the Saints with Darren Rizzi, the Rizzler, as their head coach. So, look, I don't know what to make of the Falcons or the Broncos at this point, so I'm going to drop that game entirely.
Okay. Mego's drop is Cleveland and New Orleans, which I think you had initially.
Correct.
And I don't see any problem dropping that one. That is a brutal matchup right there. All the sharp money's in on Cleveland. I don't know if that means anything to you or not.
Cleveland's healthy. I think that's why. But
yeah.
I kind of like the Saints, to be completely honest.
Okay. And the game that I'm dropping is the game we've been talking about a lot here, Colts-Jets. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with the Jets. I do sort of like the idea of the Colts and sort of those overs for Taylor and some of those rushing overs. Picking the actual game, I might say the under is something I'd be interested
okay.
in. And I like the under in that Vegas and Miami game, too, but that's nice. Another one I don't really want to touch.
So a game we didn't mention at all here, but we have to mention Bills-Chiefs. Who you got today?
I got the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Bills.
I got the Chiefs.
Give me the Billies.
I didn't. You pointed this out to me. I did not realize they lost so many games to Buffalo in the regular season.
Three straight.
They're undefeated right now, though. They're going to treat it like a playoff game. That's what I think.
Okay.
And I like Mahomes and Kansas City to stay undefeated and for the Bills to go home sad. Anyway, there you go. That's all the time we have here on NFL Football Sunday. Jacob, great job behind the glass. Want to say thanks to Fitzy. Thanks to Tom E. Curran. Thanks to Wiggy for the keys. And, of course, thanks to Andy Hart. On behalf of Mego and Chris Scheim, I'm Christian Arcan. Enjoy the football today, everybody. We'll talk to you next week at 10 o'clock right here on WEEI.